Well, you're there in Genesis chapter number 24. And of course, today is Mother's Day, and we are celebrating moms, and we're celebrating mothers and all that they do. And I do want to, I realize the announcements were a little long this morning, so I do want to preach a short sermon. I'll do my best to do that this morning. And I want to preach to all the ladies, but specifically to mothers, and we'll be making application to mothers, of course. And I want to look at this story of this young lady, Rebecca. And I want to give you three lessons for ladies from the life of Rebecca. And of course, Rebecca in this passage, and we read the entire chapter, it's a little lengthy of a chapter. We read the entire chapter, and this is, of course, Rebecca is being chosen to be the wife of Isaac. And she is a young virgin at this point. She's not married yet, but she's being chosen to be married. And the reason that I chose this passage for Mother's Day is because here we see a young lady who, though at this time she was not married, she did not have children, there are some characteristics we see in her that we can identify that she was ready for marriage and motherhood. In fact, if you look down at Genesis 24 and look down at verses 59 and 60, the Bible says this, "And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men." And this, of course, towards the end of the story, once Rebekah is getting ready to leave to go marry Isaac, notice verse 60. Notice what her family says to her. "And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister." And I want you to notice this blessing that they give her. Because today, in our society, if you said this to a young lady, we're talking about a worldly young lady that's not Christian or not been raised in the things of the Lord, she might not see this as a blessing. She might see this as a curse. But I want you to notice that the Bible says they blessed, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister." Notice this blessing. "Be thou mother of thousands of millions." They said, "We want to bless you as you leave Rebecca," and they said, "We hope that God will make you the mother of thousands of millions." Now, a thousand millions is a billion. And they said, "We hope that you become the mother of thousands of millions." They're talking about, they hope that she has descendants in the billions. And of course, she ended up being one of the mothers that was in line for the children of Israel and the nation of Israel. And then they said, "And let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them." So obviously this was a young lady that they looked at her and they said, "Hey, you're ready for motherhood. You're ready to be a mom." And they said, "In fact, we hope that you have, that you are the mother of thousands of millions." And of course, this is great application for young ladies here today that are not married, that one day would like to be married or be wives and be mothers. But of course, for those of you that are already mothers, this is a good reminder of the types of things that either prepared you for motherhood or that you're using in motherhood, or maybe if you're lacking, things that you need to try to get under control in your life and try to work on these things so that you can be a good mother. And again, I don't want to take too long this morning. I want to give you three thoughts in regards to the life of Rebecca. I'd like you, first of all, and I'm not sure if you're able to take notes in your car or whatever, but I'd like you to consider these lessons from the four ladies from the life of Rebecca. And first of all, I'd like you to consider Rebecca's labor. Notice verse number 15. And there's a lot in this passage. Honestly, you could probably preach weeks in this passage, not just because of the length, but because of the deep meaning in this passage. And with the servant coming to find Rebecca and Abraham, there's pictures there of soul winning and all sorts of different things. But of course, we read the chapter. Abraham has given a task to his servant to go and find a wife for Isaac. He does not want Isaac to marry one of the Canaanite girls. He doesn't want Isaac to marry a young lady from the world. He wants him to find a lady from the right family, and he sends him back to find a wife for Isaac. And of course, the servant, the first thing he does, and I'm not preaching on prayer this morning, but this is a great lesson on prayer. One of the first things he does when he gets there, he has this big task on his hands to find this girl. And the first thing he does is he prays. He takes time to pray and to ask God to direct his path. And again, I'm not preaching on prayer this morning, but I would submit to you this morning that prayer in the flesh sometimes seems like a waste of time when there's so many things that need to be done. But prayer truly is a great time saver, because he prays. prays that God would lead him to the right girl. And the Bible says that before he's done speaking, Rebekah shows up. Notice verse number 15, Genesis 24 and verse 15. The Bible says this, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. And of course, this is him praying. Before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Malkah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. So she's the right family, notice, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. So here comes this young lady, and she has a pitcher upon her shoulder that she's going to fill up with water. This is a young lady who was working and helping her family out. She goes out to get water for her family. Notice verse number 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And notice what the Bible says. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. So keep in mind, you have here the servant who's looking for the right girl to bring back to his master Isaac for marriage. He prays that the Lord would direct his path. And as before he's done speaking, this young lady shows up with a pitcher and she begins to fill it with water, and she's working to help her family. But I want you to notice, not only was this girl out there just working and helping her family, because here's the thing, you and I both know, and especially if you have kids and they're kind of older kids that you can get them to work, anybody can really force their kids to work. I mean, anybody could just say, hey, you know, you need to take out the trash, or you need to, I mean, the parents of this young lady could have said, hey, you need to go grab that pitcher, go fill it with water and bring it back. That's your task. That's your chore. And by the way, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's a time in the life of a child when they need to be told to work, and they need to be instructed, and they need to be trained so that they'll develop that work ethic. But I want you to notice that this is not the case with Rebekah. She is not simply going through the motions because this is what her family expects of her and what's expected of her. This is a young lady who has a good work ethic. She is not lazy. She labors, and she's not afraid of work. You say, how do you know that? Well, notice verse number 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. So he says, look, I see that you're working. I see that you have this pitcher and this well, and you're filling it up, and you're doing these things for your family. But would you get some water? And this is a stranger. She's never met this person before. And he says, hey, let me ask you something. Can I drink a little water of thy pitcher? Notice verse number 18. And she said, drink, my Lord. She didn't say, who are you? She didn't say, no, I'm only doing this because my dad's making me do this. She didn't say, you know, this was a young lady. We have a little neighbor boy, and he has some health issues and health problems, and he's not a boy that you can necessarily communicate with, but he has a nice spirit, you know, and he does this thing for us, you know, and I think he must be a hardworking boy because he takes his trash out for his family, but then he always comes and takes our trash out too. And we've never asked him to, and sometimes he forgets, and that's fine too. And we try to thank him, and you know, when we see him, he'll always remind you to thank. He'll say thank you, but he wants you to say thank you to him because he's working. But you know, he goes out and he takes the trash for his family. But then when he remembers, he'll go out and grab our trash can, you know, take it out to the road, and get it ready for the truck to come pick it up. I've seen him go across the street and grab the trash for the neighbors in the front. I think if his parents weren't paying attention, he might go up and down the whole street and start grabbing everybody's trash and getting it ready. But here we have this young lady. She's not just filling this pitcher up with water for her family because she has to. She's asked by somebody else, hey, can you help me get water? And she says, drink, my Lord. And then she takes it further. Notice verse 18. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. You say, well, that's not that hard. She already had the water in hand, and he asked just for a cup of water, and she says, sure. You know, she's a polite young lady. Notice verse number 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, this is her volunteering. She hasn't been asked for this. She says, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And here's what I'm telling you. This was a hardworking young lady. She wasn't just being forced. And by the way, teenagers, you want to get to the place in this life where you're not just always having to be forced and asked, you know, did you clean your room? Did you take out the trash? Did you do? This was a young lady. She was just a hard worker. I mean, she saw a need. She saw this man who'd been traveling. He had all these camels. He was obviously tired. He says, can I have a drink of water? And she says, sure. And I'll tell you what, I'll get water for all of your camels. Keep your place there in Genesis 24. That's obviously the text for this morning. Go with me to the book of Proverbs if you would. Proverbs chapter 31. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. And of course, Proverbs 31 is the famous virtuous woman passage. But I want you to notice that Rebecca was a young lady who was ready for motherhood because she was a hard-working young lady. And ladies, today, you ought to consider Rebecca's labor because you know this already, and I don't have to say this to you, but motherhood is a lot of work. Being a mother and being a wife and being a godly Christian and loving the Lord and serving the Lord and serving your family is a lot of work. In fact, in Proverbs 31, the quintessential passage about motherhood and being a virtuous woman, this is something that is emphasized throughout that entire passage. Proverbs 31, look at verse 13. Notice what the Bible says about the virtuous woman. It says, she seeketh wool and flax, and notice, worketh willingly with her hands. Notice verse 14. She is like a merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar off. She riseth also while it is yet night. Notice, she gets up early and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. Notice, she planteth a vineyard. She's working with her hands. Notice verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle, notice, her candle goeth not out by night. She gets up early, she stays up late, she works hard all day long. Notice verse 19, she layeth her hand to the spindle and her hand to the distaff. She's working, her hands are busy. Notice verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. What does it mean to be idle? Well, you should know it. A lot of you are doing it right now, right? Your vehicle is an idle. It's running, but it's not doing anything. It's running, but you're not going forward. You're not going in reverse. You're just idling. And the Bible says about, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, you know, when you're in a driving service. But in life, you don't want to be idle. The Bible here says that she eateth not the bread of idleness. You say, what does that mean? You know what that means is that a Proverbs 31 woman, she just doesn't really spend a lot of time on Facebook. She just doesn't really spend a lot of time on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and social media. It's not, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. If you have that, I'm just saying a woman who is working and not idle, she doesn't spend a lot of time in front of the television watching soap operas and wasting time. And I'm not saying there's not a time for recreation and a time for rest, but this is a woman who labors, who spends her days working away, who's investing in her family and investing in the things that God has given her. And moms, I want to encourage you, and I want to thank those of you who are hard workers and are good mothers. But maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, you know, I've not been as laboring as I should. Maybe my kids have gotten a little older, and because they've gotten older and they've taken some of the load off, I've been a little lazy, and maybe I haven't been getting up very early, and I haven't been working hard, and I haven't been setting the right example. I want to encourage you today to consider Rebecca's labor. This was a hard working lady. You say, her family looked at her and said, hey, you're ready for motherhood. How did they know that? Because she was a hard worker. Someone said this, men may work from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. And you know, the truth is that moms, you know, they'll work all day long. And then one of the kids has a tummy ache or their head hurts or they're not feeling well, and they'll stay up all night with their kids. And this is what a mother does. This is what a mother is. So I said, number one, I'd like you to consider Rebecca's labor. And keep your place there in Proverbs. We're going to come right back to Proverbs 31. Go back to Genesis 24. And not only would I like you to consider Rebecca's labor, but I'd also like you to consider Rebecca's liberality. Not only was this a hardworking girl, she's a very generous girl. Notice again, verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And this man had 10 camels. He traveled a long ways and he brought a lot of goods with him. He had many camels. Notice verse 20. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. I looked up some statistics on camels, because obviously we don't know too much about camels in the United States. We don't. That's not an animal that we have too much running around here. But a typical camel can drink 200 liters or 53 gallons of water in 3 minutes. And these camels had been traveling. They'd been on a journey. They'd been carrying a load. I would imagine that they were thirsty. A typical camel can drink 53 gallons of water in 3 minutes. Now, I'm assuming, she gave them water till they were full, but let's just assume that she only gave them the 53 gallons. She just you get 3 minutes worth, and that's it. You got 10 camels, that's 530 gallons of water that she served for these 10 camels. And I don't know, but I would imagine that this took a couple of hours to do. A couple of hours. I mean, imagine and envision this. And go with me to Matthew chapter 5, if you would, in the New Testament. First book of the New Testament, Matthew 5. But imagine she has this pitcher, and she has to put it down into the well and have it go down into the well and have it filled and bring it back up out of the well and then take it over to the trough put it down there and put the water in there. And the camels drink 53 gallons in 3 minutes. And then she goes back and does it again. And does it again. And does it again. And does it again. And I would submit to you this morning that Rebecca did not only do this because she was a hardworking girl, but she did it because she was very generous. She was very liberal. She had liberality. The point that I'm making. This girl went above and beyond. I mean, it wasn't just enough for her to say, "Hey, I'll do some labor for you, or I'll help you, or you take half the camels and I take half the camels." This girl went above and beyond what anybody would have imagined or asked her to do. Are you there in Matthew 5? This is a concept taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40, the Bible says this, and of course this is a great Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." He says, somebody wants your coat, let them have your cloak. What is he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, just go above and beyond. They want your coat, that's fine, give them your coat, and then let them have your cloak also. You say, "Yeah, but they're suing me. They're suing me to take my coat. It's not a friendly gesture." He said, that's fine. In our lives, we ought to live our lives in such a way that we live lives of generosity, where we are liberal with our time and with our treasure and with our talents. And Jesus said, someone wants your coat, let him have your coat. Give him your cloak also. Then he says this in verse 41. "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile." He says, somebody compels you, they ask you, they motivate you, they say, "Hey, I want you to help me, I want you to journey with me a mile." He says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile," Jesus says, "don't just go a mile, go with him twain." They ask you to walk a mile, you walk too. "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." And what Jesus is teaching, that we ought to live lives of generosity. We ought to give lives of liberality. We ought to be the type of people, the type of Christians, the type of workers, the type of neighbors, the type of employees who give more than they are asked to give, who give above and go above and beyond. And here's the thing about mothers. A good mother is going to be someone who gives of herself above and beyond. I mean, the truth is this, that the little cards we give and the little gifts we give, the little things we do one day a year on Mother's Day is not enough to pay back the labor, the work, the hours, the toil. Rebecca was ready to be a mother. Why? Because she was a hard laborer. She was a good worker, but she was ready to be a mother because of her liberality, because of her generosity, because she was the type of person who was generous with her time. She wasn't selfish. It's sad to see moms today who are selfish. They see their children as a burden. They think of their children as a burden that must be endured. Mom, I would encourage you this morning to not see your children as a burden that you have to endure, but that you see your children as an opportunity to go above and beyond, to be generous and liberal. When they compel you to go a mile, you choose to go twain. This young lady was a very generous lady. Go back to Genesis 24, look at verse 21. Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 21. Notice what the Bible says. Here you have this girl filling a pitcher of water, dumping it in a trough, going back and forth, back and forth. And of course, this is going to take some time. Notice what the Bible says in verse 21. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. He's watching this whole thing unfold, and he's not saying anything. He held his peace. He's wondering to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And the man wondering at her held his peace. Verse 22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel's weight and two bracelets of her hand of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in my father's house for us to lodge in?" And this guy, you know, he just keeps asking. When my older kids were little, and now with my younger kids, we have this book we like to read our kids about when you give a mouse a cookie. And I don't know if you've ever read that book or if you're familiar with it, but the thing about giving a mouse a cookie is that when you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for a glass of milk. And when you give him a glass of milk, then he's going to ask for a napkin. And the story goes on and on like that. And that's kind of what I think of with this guy. You know, he asked for a drink of water. She offers to fill up his camels. Now he's asking, "Hey, is there any room in my father's house for us to lodge in?" And he just keeps asking, but he's testing this young lady. Notice verse 24. And she had said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor, and said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. He looked at this girl's generosity. He saw who she was and what she was willing to do. And he said, "This is the one." How did he know that Rebecca was the one? Because of her labor and because of her liberality. Go back to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, look at verse 20. The virtuous woman, she's a hardworking lady. But you know what? She's also a very generous lady. Proverbs 31 and verse 20. Proverbs 31 and verse 20, the Bible says this, "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy." The Proverbs 31, mom, she stretched out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She has an open hand. She's generous with her labor and generous with her time. Notice verse 26. "She openeth her mouth in wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." So we see that the virtuous woman is a hardworking lady. We see that she's a generous lady. Go back to Genesis 24 if you would. Continue to keep your place there in Proverbs. Continue to keep your place in Proverbs. Go back to Genesis 24. I'd like you to notice a third characteristic here of Rebecca. A third thing I'd like you to consider, and we'll finish up here soon. I said number one, I'd like you to consider Rebecca's labor. And I said number two, I'd like you to consider Rebecca's liberality. But thirdly, this morning, I'd like you to consider Rebecca's longing. I want you to notice what Rebecca longed for. What Rebecca wanted, what she desired, what her goal was, what she wanted in life. Genesis 24, we're going to skip a lot of this chapter. There's a lot there, and a lot of it is the servant recapping the story. But go down to verse number 50. The servant is now in the house of Rebecca. He's explained the whole situation to the family. They've all accepted it as God's will, and there's something that God wants done, and Rebecca's going to go and marry Isaac. Notice verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, and by the way, let me say this, you know, and I'm not preaching about this, but notice with Rebecca, she's under the authority of her father. Even to an extent under the authority of her brother. All of this is done under the authority of a dad who gives his consent to his wife, to his daughter to be married. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken." So they're on board. They said, "Hey, great. Go ahead. Verse 52. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah and gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning. And he said, and I want you to notice the last part of verse 53. They have this great party, this great celebration. The servant rose up in the morning and he said, last part of verse 54, send me away unto my master. They said, hey, this is God's will. Rebekah should marry Isaac. We want her to be a wife. We want her to be a mother. The servant gets up the next day and says, great, let's go. Send me away unto my master. Notice verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days. At the least 10, after that she shall go. Notice, they'd already said, hey, yes, we want Rebekah to get married. Yes, we want Rebekah to be a mother. Yes, we've seen in her the characteristics of being generous and being a hard worker. And the servant says, great, let's go. Let's get this done. And then they said, well, wait a minute. Let the damsel abide with us a few days. Today, this is what this would sound like. Well, yeah, you can get married once you're done with college. Well, yeah, you can get married, but why not, you know, wait till you're 30? Why not have some time to be able to enjoy yourself? And they said, hey, well, we want her to do it, but not yet. And look, let me say this. I don't believe in rushing marriages, and I've never stood for that. I know that's become a thing in our movement, if you want to call it. And when you marry someone, you're going to be stuck with that person for the rest of your life. You better slow things down and make sure they're the right one. All right? Let me just give you some advice. I'm trying to help my own marriage counseling for the future, okay? Slow things down. I don't think you ought to marry someone you just met a few weeks ago. And I'm not for people getting married too young either. So I'm not advocating some, 18-year-old on their birthday getting married. You say, well, Pastor, didn't you get married when you were 18? Hey, look, just because we do things in our lives doesn't mean, you grow up and you realize, hey, I see other 18-year-olds get married and think, what are they doing? You know? So look, it worked out for me. It worked out for me. Did it work out for my wife? You'll have to ask her about that. But, it worked out great for me. But just because it works out for one person, doesn't mean it's always going to work out. You ought not gamble those things. So I'm not advocating fast marriages or young marriages. But what I am saying is this, that they wanted to slow this down. They said, yes, this is what God wants, but let's not do it now. Let's wait a while. And notice verse 56. And he said unto them, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. They said, well, let's ask her. What does she want to do? Verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Notice she didn't say, well, yeah, let me have some time to party. Well, yeah, let me have some time to have for myself. I want to sow my wild oats or whatever. They said, hey, do you want to do this? And she said, yes. She had a longing to be married. She had a longing to be a mother. She had a longing for what God had called her to do. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. If you find the T books, they're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, 1st Timothy chapter 5. And notice verse 14. Let me show you what the Bible says. You say, what's the will of the will of God for my life if I'm a lady? 1st Timothy 5:14, the Bible says this, I will. This is Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You say, what's God's will for a young lady? Is for her to marry, bear children, guide the house. You say, you sound like some sort of a male chauvinist. Look, let me tell you something. There is no greater work in this world than for a mother to have children and to raise them up for the glory of God. And here, the Bible says, look, my will is that they marry, bear children, guide the house. Notice, it doesn't say be the president of the United States of America. It doesn't say be the vice president of the United States of America. It doesn't say be the governor of the state of California. It doesn't say be the CEO of some company. It doesn't say to do these things. He says, look, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Now, look, I realize some of you ladies, you got saved later in life, and you grew up in the course of this world, and you know, did those things and had a career. We're not mad at you, all right? We love you. We're not upset with you about it. But let me tell you something. That's not our goal for our young girls. Our goal for our young girls shouldn't be, well, yeah, they can get married once they're done with college. They can get married once their careers are established. They can get married. No, I will, therefore, that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. But let me tell you what the real tragedy is. When a mother who already is married, who already has children, who God has already blessed with the opportunity and with the privilege of raising up a child for the glory of God, instead of longing for that calling, they long for the workforce. They wish they could go work somewhere. They miss the days where they had their career and when they were in college. Mom, let that never be you. Always keep the right heart and the right attitude and realize this is what God created me for. This is what God made me for. God made me for these children. Rebecca not only had the right labor and the right liberality, but she had the right longing. They said, what do you want to do, Rebecca? You want to wait? She says, no. This is what God created me for. God created me to be married, to bear children, to guide the house. I realize some of you young ladies, you're waiting. You're waiting for the right man. You're waiting for God to bring the right person along your path. You say, well, what should I do while I wait? Well, I would give you advice from Abraham's servant. You ought to pray. Pray that God brings the right person along. And like Abraham's servant, you ought to be observant. Don't you? Oh, he's nice. He looks nice. I'll pick him. No, you ought to watch there. Just like the servant watched Rebecca and saw her character and saw her work ethic. You know, you ought to watch. And we understand those things. And we understand that maybe you're single right now and you're just waiting and you ought to wait upon the Lord and you ought to pray and you ought to serve God. Hey, while you're looking for the right person, you ought to work on yourself. You ought to make sure that while you're waiting for the right person to come along, that you're working at becoming the person that the person you're looking for is looking for. You ought to be working on yourself. But let me tell you something, Mom. Once you're married, once you have kids, once it's done, once you're there, don't long for something else. And I realize, because of the world we live in and sin, sometimes there is no other option. And maybe you're a single mom this morning, and I'm not trying to beat up on you. Okay, we want to come alongside you and help you. But look, if you don't have to drop off your kids at daycare, don't. If you don't have to drop off your kids at a public school system, don't. If you can raise them up in the nursery, you say, yeah, but I've already wasted so many years. Then be like Paul and say, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. But look, from this day forward, have the right longing that God created you to be a mother. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, it looks like labor. It's a lot of work, moms. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a lot of work to raise kids. What does it look like? It looks like liberality. You're going to go above and beyond, and it might not ever be acknowledged. You might not ever get credit for it. The funny thing is, my wife and I joke about this, the funny thing is that the years that you invest the most into the life of a child, and what I mean by is in the inconvenience stage of it, are the years that they don't remember. You know, fortunately for us, right? They don't remember the diaper changes. They don't remember staying up all night long when they were sick. They don't remember the nursing and all those things. Here's what I'm telling you, Mom. You just give anyway. You just be generous anyway. You just go the extra mile anyway. And you make sure you refocus. And maybe for some of you moms, you've been seeing your kids in the wrong way as a burden. And you need to kind of refocus this Mother's Day. I would encourage you this Mother's Day. You focus those things up and you realize this is what God has called me to do. These are the children that God has brought into my life. This is my calling. And I don't need anything else. And I don't require anything else. God, I'm not going to distract myself with something else. Some of you moms need to shut off Facebook. Some of you moms need to shut off Instagram. Some of you moms need to lay aside some things that have been distracting you from what God has called you to do. And I'm not saying there aren't things you can't do and projects you can't do. But look, I would encourage you, try to involve your children in all the things that you can do. I would encourage you. I was reading a book recently of a family that said, I think it's a good idea. They said, if we can't do it as a family, we won't do it at all. And I would just encourage you, when your kids are young, to invest your time in them. Go back to Proverbs 31. We'll finish right here. Proverbs 31. Look at verse 30. Proverbs 31 and verse 30, the Bible says this, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is a testimony you want, Mom. I believe this is a testimony Rebecca had. And let me just say this about Rebecca, because some of you are going to wonder about it, or we're going to post this on YouTube and somebody's going to make a little smart comment about it. Rebecca had her issues there towards the end, and things she did with Jacob and Esau and all of that. And obviously, we're not excusing those things. But I would submit to you that even that was done with the spirit of motherhood. If you remember, and I won't take the time to develop it, we could preach a whole other sermon on it, but if you remember when Rebecca was pregnant, she was struggling with that pregnancy, she went to God about it, and God told her that there are two nations in her womb, and that the younger would serve, that the elder would serve the younger. And years later, when Isaac tries to circumvent the will of God and tries to force the blessing on Esau, Rebecca, she does it in a way that was inappropriate, was deceitful, and was wrong. But she tried to make sure that the will of God for her children came to pass. And she tried to make sure that Jacob got that blessing. Now, she did it in the wrong way. But I think even there, you see her heart as a mother for her children. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Notice the reward, verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You say, Pastor, if I don't work, if I don't have a career, if I don't have this going on and that going on, if I don't have these things going on in my life, then who's going to account for my life and the investment that I've made and the impact that I've made in this world? The Bible says when you are a good mother, your works will praise you in the gates. It says that her husband arises and calls her blessed. Her children arise and bless her also. You know, and here's the truth. Mom, when you're doing what you need to be doing, the children and the men in your lives are going to arise up and call you blessed. I'm thankful. And some of you dads, some of you husbands should take time today. You say, oh, it's Mother's Day. Well, take time to thank your wife for being a good mother. And I'm thankful for my wife and the investment she puts into our household and the fact that she does projects, but she always involves the children and she tries to have them there with us and she takes care of me and she takes care of the kids. You know, I'm thankful for a wife like that. I'm thankful for a mother who raised us up and who loved us and had us in church and a dad, of course, who loved us and had us in church and tried to raise us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here's what I'm telling you. Around you, you say, but if I invest myself into my husband and my children, then what will be the purpose of my life? What will be the impact that I made? It'll be those kids. Your own works will praise you in the gates. Because that's what God created you for. And I would submit to you this morning that it is the greatest creation. It is the greatest work. It is the greatest effort that can be put on this earth to raise a life for the Lord. So mom, don't quit. Stay at it. Stay with it. Keep working. Keep giving. Keep giving of yourself. Look, when people work, it's sometimes work where you give of yourself. Paul said in ministry, he said, I will spend and be spent for you. Keep going the extra mile. Keep giving above and beyond. And keep your eye on that longing that God created you to be a mom. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the story of Rebecca and the things that can be highlighted there in regards to Rebecca. And Lord, we thank you for mothers. Lord, I thank you for all of the moms represented here today. And I know they love their husbands and they love their children and they're doing what they can. And Lord, I pray you encourage them today. Pray you strengthen them. Lord, I pray that the kids around them, that the men around them would appreciate them today and every day. Lord, I thank you for the moms in my life. Thank you for my wife being a godly mother to our children. I thank you for my mother who raised us to love you. Lord, I pray a blessing for all the moms here today. Pray you take care of them. Pray you encourage them. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.